You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing. We've got a ton of football to hit. Steve Merrill's going to join us. We've got a full slate of college football on tap this evening. We'll talk Major League Baseball, the Blue Jays, and the Tribe set to do battle with a trip to the World Series at stake. The Los Angeles Dodgers got it done, and we cashed the ticket last night with the Los Angeles Dodgers and what's just been an epic Major League Baseball playoffs so far. So we've got the Blue Jays and the Indians on tap. We've got the Cubs and we've got the Dodgers, a whole litany of wicked matchups that could happen right there. You know, Major League Baseball, the curses and the baseball gods, well, Chicago, Cleveland, and one of the curses is done. One of the curses is done. The Indians haven't won since what, like 1948 or something like that? The Cubs haven't won in over 100 years. It's like nearly 200 combined years between the two of them. Meanwhile, the Blue Jays and the Dodgers, they're not really like Cinderella stories. They're both like ultra-rich franchises. But either way, the baseball players have been off the hook. We hit that with Steve Merrill. Speaking of off the hook, it's always off the hook when the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart joins us in studio like he will. The kid is hot tonight. Whoa! We'll find out how hot Cam is tonight. A little hot roster talk. We got Pat Mayo in studio. I like Fridays. We've got some in-studio guests. It's a loose vibe. We're talking football. We're talking DFS. We're talking betting. Pat Mayo, super lock of the week. Interested to see what Pat Mayo comes up with this week, and I hope it's not the Miami Dolphins. Just had to put that out there. All right? And you know, the Dolphins suck so hard, actually. I came this close, man, to putting Jarvis Landry in my millionaire maker lineup that I give you every week. I actually had him there, and I was like, I can't do it. They're going to be playing from behind, and I can't do it. I want no part of this Miami team, man. Like, I don't want him in DFS. I don't want him in fantasy. I don't want him in reality, and I'm freaking stuck with Devontae Parker, but who knows, man? Maybe he can get one touchdown or so. I don't know. Maybe they should be getting blasted in that game. All right, so week six of the National Football League regular season already here. The Denver Broncos and the San Diego Chargers game was pretty much like the 5 weeks previous to this. Crappy, boring, dull, poorly played. You know, it's nice to see. We had a prop on Phillip Rivers. Over 22 and a half completions. Dude's got 18 completions in the third quarter. It was like they just ran the ball 42 times in a row. Entertainment factor? I've seen more exciting MLS soccer games, all right? Hell, I've seen more entertaining MLS preseason games. It's getting to the point where I'd rather watch like reruns of the antique freaking roadshow than the National Football League. It's a pile of crap. It's a complete pile of crap. I've got a couple of bold predictions for you as far as week six is concerned. And our bold prediction number one, the games won't suck. I think we're finally past the horror of it all. With Halloween rapidly approaching, and speaking of which, I saw Halloween on TV last night, and it is pretty freaking scary, actually. I don't know if I'm getting old and soft, but I was like, man, this movie's pretty hardcore. It was freaking me out. It's like, I don't want to watch this. It's like 7 at night. I'm like, he's coming. He's coming for you. So speaking of coming for you, we got some marquee matchups finally coming for us. So our first bold prediction is this week won't suck. You won't be bored. Is it going to be good as the Major League Baseball playoffs? Nah. The only thing like nearly close as good as the NFL playoffs that we're seeing on Sundays is Nicki Minaj's assets in that T-Mobile ad. Yeah, that's like the best thing at NFL Sundays. Like, the commercials suck besides that one. But they should show us more. I want to get more connected to T-Mobile and Nicki Minaj. But our first major bowl prediction of the week, the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys, America's team. Well, they're America's team again because they're good again, right? Right now, everybody loves them some Dak, including myself. They're 4-1 right now. They're going to be 5-1 after they beat the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers throws interceptions every like five passes, it seems. Guy's only completing like 56% of his passes, 51% of his passes last week. Give me the kid, Billy the kid, Dak the kid, and we'll go with the Dallas Cowboys. And I don't know how bold it is. They're getting 4.5 points, but we're calling an outright upset victory, and you want quarterback quarterback controversy, just wait till the Dallas Cowboys beat an overrated Green Bay Packer team. The only problem is the NFL and the referees love Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers as much as CNN loves Hillary Clinton. So it's like their CNN debates, they're rigged. Similar situation with Green Bay Packer games. They're somewhat fixed. So the Dallas Cowboys are going to be playing uphill a little bit because you can't get too close to Aaron. Ooh, there's Aaron. And it's funny how the media never picks on Aaron Rodgers. Never his fault. No, it's not his fault. He don't go 51% of the passes. Give me Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. You want bolder than that? I don't know why people aren't believing in the Atlanta Falcons right now. Falcons have just beaten the two teams that were in the Super Bowl last year in consecutive weeks. What do they do the week before that? They went to Oakland and they won that football game. All these people, who they played, I don't know. Played the Denver Broncos, they played the Carolina Panthers. They're playing the teams that are on their schedule, and they're going to beat another team that's on their schedule, the Seattle Seahawks. I'm taking the Atlanta Falcons to win this game outright. Upset special, plus 6.5 points. What I like about the Atlanta Falcons is they're showing they can win. Julio Jones doesn't have to catch 13 balls. Vic Beasley suddenly coming alive, and I think this Atlanta Falcon defense, you want bold, the defense will be the difference in what's going to be an epically rain-soaked, wind-induced game. That's why this pick is so bold, because the fact of the matter is the Falcons are known as a finesse dome soft team. They're going to go to the Pacific Northwest, and they're going to win in a slop fest, and they're going to get it done. Now, speaking of bold, there's been nothing bolder than Colin Kaepernick so far this year, and that's how bad the NFL season has been. The most talked about story is whether a backup quarterback is going to kneel or stand before the game starts. So Colin Kaepernick, starting for the first time this year, goes into Buffalo. So Buffalo Bills are now 9-point favorites. It's clearly the bettors of America. They want what the white hooded crew want. As you know, every racist jackass in America is going to want to see Colin Kaepernick not just get injured, but decapitated. They're going to want blood. And suddenly the Buffalo Bills are going to be like the most popular team with Redneck Nation this week. And just to make things a little bit spicier in Buffalo, LeSean McCoy has invited 16 cops to the game. As a sort of a, he says, oh, Kaepernick has a protest, so I just want to show some love to the cops. So I'm inviting 16 cops from Buffalo to the game. And they're like, oh, so you're against Kaepernick's protest. He's like, no, I'm all for Kaepernick's protest. And I find it ironic that McCoy is inviting cops to the game when he's being sued by the Philadelphia Police Department for viciously attacking him in a nightclub. But this game is full of irony, and oh yeah, lost in all of this is LeSean McCoy says that Chip Kelly's a racist who coaches the San Francisco 49ers right now. Okay, that's right, Chip Kelly. As I'll tell you what, you are bold. If we would have told you that 3 weeks ago anybody would have given a crap about the San Francisco 49ers and the Buffalo Bills, you would have said, that's not bold, that's freaking insane. And you want insane? The Buffalo Bills are going to win 4 games in a row. They're circling the wagons, baby, right now, and nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. You know, nobody knows what's going to happen on Sunday, but I tell you what, it won't be boring. And if it is, hey, we always have Nicki Minaj. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. We've got a great show. Pat Mayo is going to join us in studio. Cam Stewart in studio. Steve Merrill joins us via Skype. Let's bring Steve in right away and get right down to business. Steve, I would talk some politics with you, but the Fantasy Sports Network's a family network. And the election's just a little bit too sleazy to talk about it. I mean, dear God, some of the words that we're hearing on CNN are blowing my mind, man. worse than sports rage was on Sirius.
Yeah, I think one of the funniest comments I saw this week was somebody said, watching the debate, they're like, why are mom and dad so mad at each other?
All right, we'll get to that. We have a debate next week, actually, Steve. The carnage is nearly over, and I think Donald Trump is going to be very, very interesting. I believe it's next Wednesday, Steve. You ever heard the phrase scorched earth? Because I think he's going to go out nuclear style on Wednesday.
Well, it's in Las Vegas, too. What a great place to have that last debate as well. In Las Vegas. I mean, he couldn't script this any better.
It's on Fox. That's how you script it better. It's on Fox.
He's he's going to turn straight to the camera at the very end and say, like, gotcha. The joke's been on all of you all. This has been a reality show all along. I'm out of here.
He's going to announce.
Paul Ryan's going to pop out of the podium and say he's running.
At the end of the debate, he's going to announce, I want to, you know, the only reason I'm not going to win this thing is because the system is rigged, because of the liberal bias in the media and all their networks. That is why I'd like to announce now that Trump TV debuts, basically, January 1st. But anyways, that's another story. All right, Steve. Jays and Tribe. Let's talk some baseball. Here we go. I mean, Major League Baseball would have preferred if the Boston Red Sox got this far. I thought the Red Sox would get this far, but we have two teams that belong to be here. Neither of these teams have lost yet in the postseason. Both swept their way here. In fact, the Jays are now 4-0 in the playoffs. Tribe 3-0.
Yeah, and the Red Sox, you know, I said the concern I had with them coming in was that they weren't a pitching team. They were an offensive team. They're the best offense in baseball all season long. And what happened? They got ice cold the final week of the regular season, and it carried over into the postseason. They were batting below 200 as a team for that final week, and they just couldn't get it done. Texas, as you know, Gabe, I kept saying all year long, was a very phony team. So no surprise that Toronto got by them. As we talked about on Monday, had some momentum. The question now is this long layoff, will that actually work against the Jays? The thing that fascinates me in this series, in this game one, is that the Indians have home field advantage. They're a medium-sized favorite in game one tonight, yet they're the underdog in the series. You know, they're minus 135 tonight. Blue Jays are minus 140 to win the series.
I'm falling right into it, Steve, because I like the Indians to win tonight, but I think the Jays win the series.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, you definitely want to wait and play the Jays in the adjusted line in game two. But it's very unusual to see a scenario like this where you're favored in game one with home field and still the dog in the series.
You know what? I lean with the Tribe tonight, but you can make an argument for both teams. Baseball is really Russian roulette, but it really is a classic case of offense versus defense, says Steve. Toronto Blue Jays, man, these guys hit 10 home runs against the Texas Rangers. They scored 22 runs. Meanwhile, the Indians held the Red Sox to 7 runs in the three games, and the Red Sox, you talk about pitching, the Tribe have it, man. The Red Sox hit .136 against them.
Yeah, and here's what's funny, though, Gabe. The Indians have better offensive numbers for the season. They're averaging 4.8, the Blue Jays 4.7. Indians batting .262, the Blue Jays batting .248. Indians have a slightly better bullpen as well, statistically.
Yeah, better
and
bullpen.
Home field.
But
yeah,
the
so,
Blue
you know,
Jays, everyone thinks that the Blue Jays bats, but the Blue Jays have the best ERA in the American League.
Right, and that's the thing. You know, you think of them as a power team, but their pitching actually carried them farther than people realize. You know, I like to look at expected one-loss record for the season, which is, you know, run differential. These two teams are both 91 and 71 in the regular season, exactly the same expected one-loss records. Very even matchup here in this series.
Yeah, so I'm taking the Tribe tonight and the Jays in the series. Who's going to win the series?
I think Cleveland wins the series. I think there's value with them tonight at the underdog price, but I don't disagree. If you like Toronto, I would wait and play them in game two and get maybe a plus money price if they lose game one.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And if not, even if you like the Jays in the series and you're hesitant, and I picked the Jays before the year started, Steve, so if you like the Jays and you're hesitant, even if they win one of the games, they're not going to sweep the Indians after that. We've talked about this. Me and Cam talked about this. I've talked about this a lot this week. You're almost better off, Steve, in these series is just jumping in blindly, taking the underdog in these playoff series, and then riding the market throughout, man. We saw with the Dodgers and the Nationals. There were some crazy, crazy series swings in that series.
No question. It's like in-game betting in general. I mean, basically what you're doing is you're in-game betting within the series. You know, and whenever you have, you know, the in-game of the football, you know, you never want to jump on a team right after they score a touchdown. You want to wait until you get some value, buy low and sell high, and that's the same approach I would take here with the series. So if you like Cleveland in the series, I'd play it now at plus money. And if you like Toronto, I would hold on and maybe try to get them at plus money if they do drop a game at some point.
All right, so let's talk some college football. We got Duke and Louisville on tap this evening. Louisville have been off for a couple of weeks now, or a week. They had a bye week following the very, very emotional game against the Clemson Tigers. They're laying 34 points. The total was 71. It came down to 69.5 here. What do you make of this game?
Well, the thing about Louisville is I think you can make an argument they got to run the score up from here on out. You know, they're kind of on the outside looking in after that Clemson loss. And no matter how well they play, if, you know, the Big Ten, if Michigan or Ohio State runs the table, if Washington continues to run well in the Pac-12, Alabama, of course, in the SEC, and then Clemson, it's going to be very tough to put Louisville ahead of any of those conference winners. So with that said, Louisville has to really blow teams out from here on out. And they're not afraid to do so. I mean, this is a high-profile offense. They put up over 60 on Florida State. No reason why they can't do it against Duke. A lot of times the bye week might hurt an offense like this, but I think that bye came at a really good time for Louisville. You always worry about that letdown after a tough loss like that Clemson game. But the bye week, I think, actually came at a good time for that reason. And Louisville still knows they're in the picture here. I mean, losing at Clemson in a close game definitely should not eliminate them. The question is, does Duke have enough to maybe keep it within that, you know, 4.5, 5 touchdown spread? I think the over makes some sense. I'm a little surprised that line came down because Duke is a capable offensive team.
Yeah, you know what? I looked at the weather as well, and weather's not a factor really, Steve. And Louisville score 58 points a game. They're not letting up. And, you know, they're, and you throw in the fact, I agree. I think they're still in the national championship mix, actually. The media seems to love them, and it doesn't hurt that they have the Heisman front runner as well in Lamar Jackson. So Petrino's never been shy to run scores up. He's trying to get a Heisman trophy. He's trying to stay in a conversation. And the game's on ESPN. We talk about this. I like the over more so than risking the third lane, the 34 here, Steve, because, you know, Duke are capable. Their offense only scoring, you know, 24 a game, which surprised me a little bit. The Duke's offense is pedestrian as it is. But let's say Louisville get to the 55 to 60 range, which they probably do. You know, we only need to get 14 points from Duke to get the over, Steve. I'd rather take the over than lay the 34.
Yeah, and throw out that Clemson game where they put up 36. They put up 59 or more in their other four games this season. So basically, they've scored over 60 points on average if you eliminate that Clemson game. They've almost scored the over-under on average in their other four games this year.
All right, Memphis and Tulane. Number keeps rising. I see Tulane's up to like 12.5. It just keeps rising every time I hit and refresh here. This isn't the same Memphis team. They got it done last week against Temple. Temple's offense is kind of mediocre, and they move the ball relatively easily on Memphis. You know, Tulane, obviously not a public team, but guys like you and me and guys that have been betting college football forever, we all know about Willie Fritz. Like, he's a hipster coach, Steve, as we all know.
The thing about Tulane that worries me in this game is you hate taking the team, the inferior team, and just hoping they stay within the number. And if you're going to do that, you need to make sure you have some backdoor cover potential. And Tulane has a terrible passing offense, one of the weakest passing attacks in college football. So when they get down in this game, which they likely will, it's going to be a little difficult for them to play from behind. They're averaging almost 250 rushing yards per game, but they're throwing for less than 6 yards per pass. So I think for that reason, this line is rising. Plus a 12.5, there's really nothing stopping it until it hits 13, maybe 14 by kickoff.
That's a good point. There's not really a difference between 11 and 12 or 12.5. And we should note Memphis are 8-1 straight up and against the spread against these guys the last 9 times. Tulane are rebuilding right now. They've looked good, but they're not all the way there yet. Total 52.5 feels a little low to me, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, the concern there, once again, is that Tulane cannot throw the ball, you know, and they put up 31 points a game this year. Very misleading, because I don't consider them a very good offensive team.
All right, Steve. San Diego State and Fresno State. You know, I was reading Mark Lawrence's playbook, and he wrote generally he doesn't butter his bread by laying 17 points on the road, and neither do I. It goes against what I like to do when I bet college football, but Fresno really are that bad this year, Steve. What's your take? How bad are Fresno? Where do you have these guys in your power rankings?
Yeah, this is how bad they are. Last year, Fresno was a 7-point road dog at San Diego State. That'd be like a 1-point dog at home. 2 years ago, the last time they played in Fresno, Fresno was a 3.5-point favorite, won by 11. Now they're a 17-point home dog. So you're talking about almost a 3-touchdown swing within the last couple seasons. San Diego State's been getting better. Fresno's been getting a lot worse. They're 1-5 on the season, and this is a bad team. You know, they got blown out at Nebraska. UNLV beat them by 25, and, you know, San Diego State's probably as good as any of those teams they've played this year. So not a good spot here. This is another one of those games you'd be taking the big dog, hoping they just stay within the number. And I just don't like doing that with teams, especially like Fresno.
Yeah, you know, we just had the logo up, Fresno State Bulldogs. I've always been a fan of that logo. They made me a lot of money in the old Tarkanian days. But they're not Bulldogs. They're more like Poodles. They're Fresno State Poodles. And I learned the hard way, Steve. I didn't pay a lot of attention to Fresno. I knew that they were down on their luck. But I saw they were playing UNLV. And I'm like, man, UNLV shouldn't be favored against Bishop Gorman, let alone. Like, UNLV lost to Idaho the week before, Steve. And, you know, Idaho are generally known as arguably the worst team in college football. And they won outright against UNLV. And, you know, UNLV are okay. They've got a lot of injuries. But UNLV just tattooed Fresno. And when I watched the game, and I'm like, man, they look like a high school team. Like, they're, you know, small kids getting run over. Like, UNLV look like UCLA versus Fresno, Steve.
Yeah, and keep in mind that San Diego State just played UNLV 6 days ago and beat them by 19 at home. They lost by 25. Fresno did. And yeah. So you don't want to read too much into common opponents, but that one definitely sticks out as they both have played them within the last couple weeks combined, and huge difference in results.
You know, Aztecs are a real good team, man. They're really good. I was surprised that they got, South Alabama.
South Alabama, 19-point favorite on the road. Wow. So that concerns you, I guess. But, you know, the other way to look at that game, the last time they were on the road, they were a 19-point favorite. They lost outright. Doubt that's going to happen tonight. It's actually probably more of a focus spot because of that.
You're exactly right. Yeah, that's what I thought. Where you and I think the same, Steve. I was thinking Coach Long's going to tell him, listen, you guys, last time you thought it was going to be an easy road game, we lost. And, you know, he'll be on top of them, the kids. And what I like about it, too, that's a strange spot. It's South Alabama. But these kids, man, they've never left San Diego in their life, Steve. You know what I mean? You know, they're all from the San Diego and the California area, LA, et cetera, whatever. They don't go to South Alabama very often. They got caught. It happens. But this is in California. It's when I look at it differently when these road games are in state.
No question about it. And there'll definitely be some fans and relatives at the game. They went there 2 years ago. A lot of these guys have already played on this field. And you see this in college football. You see it in college basketball as well. You go to these bizarre, you know, non-conference or new conference teams. You've never played there before. And there's just something about that trip that throws guys off. And I think that's what happened in that game.
All right, which leads us perfectly into this because it's amazing. You know, BYU haven't hosted an SEC team in 16 years, Steve, because SEC teams don't go out and want to play at nighttime out there.
Right.
In the West, in the altitude. And here we have it. It's a classic example. I mean, this is like the one and only time, unless any of these kids on Mississippi State end up playing in the NBA for the Utah Jazz, it's the only time in their life they're ever going to see the state of Utah, Steve.
Yeah, this is a strange matchup. And I think Mississippi State a bit of a phony team this year. They've been nothing but a running team. They average almost 200 yards per game on the ground. Their two wins came against a bad South Carolina team, a bad UMass team. They only beat them by 12 as a 23-point
favorite. Yeah, UMass were in that game. And I tell you, that final score is deceptive. That game was close until late in the fourth.
Yeah, and Mississippi State had a 3-1 turnover edge in that game and still only won by 12 on the road. So, yeah, I'm not a believer in Mississippi State. And once again, a team that doesn't really throw the ball well, although BYU is more of a run team as well. But I think at home they'll have the lead in this game. It's going to be tough for Mississippi State to play from behind. If both teams run the ball a lot, I guess you can make a case for the under maybe for that same reason. Both teams have been good on the ground, a little subpar passing this year.
You know, I'm a degenerate, Steve, and I often force picks in which I play the side in the total. You know, I'm going to get in on the side, you know, the side in the total, side in the total. And it's hard to go 2-0 in games. And like tonight, I'm taking a disciplined approach. I'm not laying the 34. I'm going to take the over in the Duke game. Not messing with the total in the San Diego game. I'm going to lay the 17. And here with Mississippi State and BYU as well. I look at the over and I look at the under, and I think, you know, you can make an argument for the under. But with that being stated, I'm more comfortable laying the 7. I watched Mississippi State play Auburn last week, Steve, and this offense really has a hard time. They're going to have a hard time up there in the altitude with all those Mormons.
Like you said, this is a bigger game, I think, for BYU. They're getting an SEC opponent at home on Friday night. Mississippi State, meanwhile, do you think that it's in the middle of the SEC schedule? Do you think they really care about, you know, playing BYU out of conference? So I think it's a much bigger game for the home team as well.
Steve, it's always a pleasure, my man. we got NASCAR as well, Steve. We didn't have it on the docket because we had so much football and stuff to talk. But any quick hits on the NASCAR on the way out?
Well, just Jimmy Johnson now 3-1 favorite to win the Chase because he's advanced to the final four base or the next round, the final eight, I guess. And wouldn't it be crazy as subpar as he's been the last couple months if he gets it done? I think the big question this week is, Kevin Harvick, does he finally have a good race? Because keep in mind, Gabe, Talladega is next week. Just a total crapshoot if you don't do well this week.
Yeah, that's a crap. You're rolling the dice there, Talladega. You're right. You know what? And I told you this, Steve, and I brought this up to a couple of people. Harvick's bad karma, man. The guy was ripping everybody, and he turned into this big bully. I was like, it's not going to end well for him. But
you're right. You're a couple weeks early, but it's happened the last two. And he probably has to win now to end it because he finished so bad. So, he's always a second-place finisher, so maybe this is the week he finally gets a win. I don't know.
He's been in this spot before where he's had to win, but it was in Phoenix where he always wins, right?
Yeah,
this
it was 2 years ago when he won the whole thing. Yeah, it was incredible. And he's not a great Talladega
racer. Sorry.
Yeah, he's not a great Talladega racer, though, so this is really the week he has to win, probably.
I always get confused. Why is it like the Hollywood Casino in Kansas?
Yeah, I know. Or Brooklyn, Michigan for the Michigan race?
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah, it confused me as well. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
A lot of things confuse me. All right, we'll take a quick break. We're going to be back. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, joins me in studio. Hot Roster! Game Time Decisions live on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. It's a pleasant surprise and an honor to have the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart in studio to talk some Hot Roster. Hot Roster. The kid is hot tonight.
Whoa. So hot tonight.
Where will he be
tomorrow?
All right. So, we're going to talk some Hot Roster. And I love this Hot Roster format, actually. But just quickly before we get to the Hot Roster, some of you with an attention to detail, similar to Donald Trump. I was reading about Donald Trump last night. And they said sometimes he's a nice guy and sometimes he flies off the handle and, like, is insanely mad about the smallest things. Like, he walked into his casino once and one of the workers had was wearing gray shoes with black pants.
Didn't like the look.
No, and he was just like, I don't understand, like, why you think that would be a good idea. And supposedly, like, he was pissed for, like, 2 days about a limo driver that, like, his pants didn't match his shoes.
You fly off the handle when Tim Hortons scrapes the top of your donut, the chocolate dip, and you freak out when you don't get enough cheese in your poutine.
Well, these donut places, figure it out.
Protect it.
Some of you with a keener eye might notice, like, what we do here. Like, normally we have the matchups of, like, the day's games and stuff like that, and, like, the important teams. So as you see, we have the Blue Jays and we have the Cubs. Like, are the Blue Jays playing the Cubs in the World Series yet?
No.
So it really should be like the Blue Jays and the Indians. But the thing is, we don't have an Indian hat. We had an Indian hat, but we don't have an Indian hat. Do we have a Los Angeles Dodger hat? No. Do we have an Atlanta Brave hat? No. We did have all of the above, just as we actually had a legitimate Toronto Blue Jay hat, which is now replaced with one of these, I don't know, spring training type of knockoff deals.
That's not even a real hat.
Not even a real hat. Not even a real hat. Like, basically, we have a thief in the building. That's what I'm getting to.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, teams.
Somebody is systematically taking the hats one by one.
They stole your UFC dolls, too. Right?
They were recovered. Oh, they were kidnapped and recovered, but Rampage Jackson came back broken into pieces. We've got a Buffalo Bill hat here. This is like the ultimate cheap Bills hat.
Oh, that's that. Yeah,
this is
tough.
The one that comes with the six pack of Budweiser.
You're so right. That's like a Champ Sports. It's in the $199. I got a Seahawk one that.
It just caught my eye. Like, I'm looking before. Like, is there anything more ghetto than our Illinois football? Look at the colors. How old they are. Like, what year from what Rose Bowl? Read what year this is from.
What? 2008. Go Ron Zook.
I can't believe that Illinois was even in the Rose Bowl in 2008.
I thought it was Jeff George era.
We got a Kentucky hat here. I don't know. We got to speak to the decorators.
Well, you're shopping in the bargain bin.
Mikey. All right. So let's talk some Hot Roster. I like this Hot Roster format. Head-to-head fantasy matchups at Hot Roster. You have to have four matchups. layups, and it pays. There's a nice return, but you have to win all four on the card.
It's beautiful, Marantz. Yeah, you can either pick up to four, and then it goes up to 10. And the beautiful thing too is it's simple formats, man. You don't have to worry about none of the PPR, yards, touchdowns. I'll give you the scoring format right now. For passing yards, 1 point for every 25 passing, 4 points for a passing touchdown. Interceptions, -2. Rushing yards, 1 point per every 10. Rushing touchdowns, 6. Receiving yards, 1 point for every 10. Receiving touchdowns gets you a cool 6. Fumble return for a touchdown, 6. 2 point conversions, 2. Fumbles lost, -2.
No,
not PPR. Not PPR.
But they have interesting matchups and they have interesting concepts too. They'll be like, you know, all these rookies, the rookie card going head to head. Star quarterbacks going head to head.
I played hockey last night, went 3 out of 4. Max Pacioretty screwed me out of a nice win. But anyway, what can you do?
Guy Lafleur's not surprised. All right, Aaron Rodgers. Yes. Aaron Rodgers versus Russell Wilson. Interesting matchup here with Aaron Rodgers versus the Cowboys. The Cowboys defense has actually been a hell of a lot better than people thought it was going to be. The last three games, they've held their opponents to 17 points or less. They haven't given up more than 23 on the season. And Cam, I'll tell you, Russell Wilson, I have chemo and Como and all those other
Seattle networks. You get the Seattle games. I love it.
Yeah, so I get all those Seattle networks. So I'm aware that they have historic level floods hitting the Seattle area right now. They had winds of 50 miles an hour last night. They broke an all-time record in the Pacific Northwest. It's going to continue through Sunday. Weather conditions are going to be horrific. You got to go Aaron Rodgers.
Wow, Marantz. See, I was actually talking about Russell Wilson until I got my meteorology report there. That was fantastic thing. Atlanta's D, though, 27th versus the pass, so I like that situation. And the thing about Rodgers is, you bring up a good point, though. He's got 9 touchdowns to Russell Wilson's 5, but Russell Wilson throws for more yardage, but touchdowns are so much more significant. Slight lean to Rodgers, but you can make a case for Wilson.
I hate doing this. I'm doing this solely on the weather, almost.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, like you said, the Falcons' defense has been carved up, but I don't know. I don't know what you're a Seahawk fan. You know,
I think Russell Wilson's healthier now. The problem is, if he's going to run in those type of conditions, you don't want to do that. You don't. If this is going to be raining, sleet, bad conditions, you can't screw around with a guy that's had bad ankles on both. He's basically been beaten down all year. And let's call it out for what it is. Seattle's offensive line is a work in progress.
All right, so we have we disagree. You're going.
I'm going to go with Russell Wilson still. I'm not sure about Gabe's meteorology weather report there. I'm going to question it.
Yeah. He doesn't believe me. Can we have a confirmation? Can one of you kids get off of Tinder?
Yeah, seriously.
Get us a weather report here.
The ice cream's coming at 6 o'clock. I already checked.
You guys are
Ben and Jerry's.
You guys
they
are
want
on
a free
cell phone
advice.
All the time.
It's annoying.
Like, during show, you're on your phone all the time, but you never have any pertinent information. We got camera 3 over here who had a cell phone in his hand.
Yes, he did.
Until I said, will one of you tell us? God, you're lazy. All right, Luck in Mariota. What's the weather, Mikey, in Seattle?
I see rain.
Rain.
I see rain.
Degrees. What's that?
Wow, it's raining in Seattle. Tell me something I don't know. Can I get some winds? Can I get some like real weather reports here? Oh my God.
This is anyway, what I do.
I'm sorry.
20 mile an hour winds, 80% chance precipitation.
Oh, okay. 80%
chance. So you believe me now?
That's not 100, buddy. Next matchup.
Andrew Luck, Marcus Mariota. Andrew Luck, Sunday night football at the Houston Texans. Meanwhile, Marcus Mariota hosts the Cleveland Browns. Mariota's sort of Russian roulette. 1 week he gives you 25-30, the next week he gives you 9.
The thing why you got to go with Luck in the matchup, Marantz, you want to talk down yards. This guy's thrown for 1,469, Mariota 1,088. Luck also has 3 more touchdowns. He has less interceptions. The thing about Mariota, though, Marantz talked about it, very sneaky. He could throw for 160 yards like he did, but also come up with a running touchdown and throw for 3. Like, he doesn't put up the yardage, but the TD numbers are there. I like Luck on prime time, though. I think it's a good situation. Give me Andrew Luck. His numbers are better. He should get it done. I'm down with Luck.
All right. Todd Gurley versus Mark Ingram.
One of my favorite matchups on hot roster.
The underachieving Todd Gurley versus Mark Ingram. Who do you like?
I love Gurley. Gurley, this is the situation here, and this is the beautiful thing about the hot roster card. You have to look. Todd Gurley, it doesn't matter if he's running for under 3 yards a carry. He gets fed. Like me at the buffet, he just keeps on eating and eating, even when he feels sick. 105 attempts to Ingram's 54, Marantz. That's huge. Gurley, 3 touchdowns to Ingram's 1. It's a no-brainer here. Great situation, too. Detroit's D, they give up 115 a game. Carolina, 94.8. Whatever. I'm telling you,
you, Todd Gurley is my favorite matchup on Hot Roster. He will destroy Ingram.
So people need to pick four, so let's give him a fourth. You want to go with Ryan Matthews and Terrence West or DeAndre Hopkins versus Marvin Jones?
I'm actually going to go with Hopkins over Jones, and I know Jones has been a great story in the National Football League, but Morenci, you like to bring stats like you're dealing with Steve Merrill. In the first three games, 9 catches for 20-plus yards for Jones and 2 for over 40. In the last two, So he was lighting it up at the start of the year, but he can't keep up this type of – he was on fire, the top receiver.
It was one game.
Yeah, well, it was actually two games, yeah, one and a half games.
But one was the big – you know.
And Hopkins, hey, Osweiler, here's a tip. He's your go-to guy. Throw it to him a lot. This is the week he absolutely breaks out and goes bananas. I like Hopkins over Jones as well, Morenci.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, if Brock doesn't start playing better, they're going to be calling him Assweiler in Texas.
You want a kicking matchup?
Yeah,
you know, sure. Over Boswell, too, if you want to get real crazy. For all you fans of kickers out there.
Over Boswell. What's your reason? Hey, listen, I'm a field goal kicking expert.
Want to know why, Morenci?
Yeah, what's your reason
here? The Superdome.
Okay, Gano sucks.
No, yeah, well, the Gano does suck, but he's in no elements in the Silverdome. He's going to be fine. In the Superdome, yeah. And between 40 and 49, he's been fine. I love that situation. I expect a lot of field goals, no elements. Boswell, Pittsburgh, Miami, we could see some elements there. I'm going to take the indoor kicker.
I think there's kids at home watching right now. Silverdome? What the hell is this guy talking about?
Yeah, I got left at the Silverdome on one of those bus tours. What a disaster. Getting back into Canada from Pontiac, Michigan, it sucks.
Yeah, Pontiac, not the friendliest place.
Oh, no. I was trying to hitch a ride. They're like, screw you, loser. I'm like, okay, thanks.
You want an interesting trivia fact about the Silverdome?
Yes.
You know who did the last game ever broadcast in that stadium?
Who?
Me. I'm dead serious. It was Super Bowl week, and it was the
Canada-USA
It was
game.
The World Global Junior Championships.
Right.
It was in the Pontiac Silverdome, and it was all smashed up and stuff. And the mic was still on, so I was talking smack over the mic. And then someone stole Jerome Bettis's watch. The Pittsburgh Steelers were practicing at the Pontiac Silverdome, and then they
after that Super Bowl,
they ripped the roof off.
After that Super Bowl versus the Seahawks, I should have stole his watch too.
All right, well, the Super Bowl got stolen.
Yeah, it sure did.
Just like his watch. We got to get out of here. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We welcome Pat Mayo into the studio for his Pat Mayo Super Lock of the Week that we'll get to in a couple of moments. Pat, rough week last week. I think it's safe to assume that's the last time you'll use the Miami Dolphins as a Super Lock.
I don't play that sort of game. Just because a team burns me once does not mean I won't go back to the well, but I can assure you I will not be taking Miami this week. But yeah, I'm not going to play that game. There are teams that I will go back to that burn me all the time. If I think they're in a good spot, why play that bias in your mind? We're trying to win money here. Sometimes you're going to lose, sometimes you're going to win, but if you let that factor in, you're going to lose more.
All right, so there's a game, an interesting game that I've talked a lot about this week, that most people have an opinion that the Atlanta Falcons are a fraud, and
I'm one of those people,
and that this is a horrible matchup for them going into the Pacific Northwest after playing in the altitude last week in Denver. The week before that, they had an emotional game in which they beat down the Carolina Panthers. Oh yeah, the week before that, they were in Oakland and they won.
I had that one. Atlanta.
We can either say, man, the Falcons are in a really bad spot right now, but we can also make an argument that they were in a bad spot for like basically 3 weeks in a row, Pat, and they've gotten it done. Now, you heard me and Cam talking about the weather situation in Seattle as we speak right now and throughout the weekend, but you've got some more detailed analysis, unlike the jackasses we deal with in the studio. Camera one.
It's the reason that I'm sitting up here and they're behind the cameras. I do the real research when it comes to this stuff. So I looked hour by hour as of right now from AccuWeather in terms of what's going on for that game. 1 p.m. Pacific time. Obviously, it's going to be 4 p.m. Eastern time for those of you who don't quite get time zones. But it's going to be 41% chance of precipitation, which means it's probably not going to rain during the game. It's actually going to clear up around 2 to 3 hours before. So they're going to be able to drain the field a little bit. The temperature is going to go up up during the game, almost 5 degrees.
You're putting a lot of faith.
All I'm saying, just please let me finish before you start interrupting. And the biggest thing for me, and because I don't really care about rain, as long as it's not downpouring, it's the wind that is the biggest factor. On Saturday, it's going to be like 30 miles per hour. On Sunday, throughout the course of the day, it's going to go down. It's going to start somewhere between 20. By game time, it should be 10 to 15. If it stays in that range and stays below 15 miles per hour, especially for fantasy purposes and over purposes, you're going to be able to pass. It's not going to be a problem. And a lot of people might stay off this game, take Atlanta in the points, and take the under. And you might be sitting pretty with Seattle minus 6. And that number is going to move closer and closer and closer to Atlanta. People already betting Atlanta. That number's already down. They're going to hear about the weather, get freaked, and it's going to end up being like plus 3.5 by Sunday.
No, I don't think it'll come down too much because the perception will be that Atlanta is a dome team, that they won't be able to handle the elements.
The money has been on Atlanta all week.
No, it's sitting at 6 points.
It was sitting at 6.5 points. The money was on Atlanta. Now it's 6.
There's no difference between six and a half.
People are believing in it. Like,
this line won't move too much.
I think it will.
It's not going to come down to 3. That's for sure.
It depends on how people talk about this weather.
The warm the weather, people will use that against Atlanta.
No, they won't. They'll say that it's going to be.
Seattle live in the
I game. Understand that, but they're going to see a whole bunch of points. No one's going to score in this game. Give me the points because it's going to be a field goal game. That's how people are going to think.
The average guy is going to look at this and go, Matt Ryan's going to suck in the rain. They're not going to be able to throw it to Julio Jones. When the fact is, the Falcons can run the ball. They run the ball more effectively than Seattle does.
The best part of their game right now, I mean, Seattle's running the ball pretty well with Christine Michael, but
93 yards a game.
That's all they're running. That's all they're running with. They're doing a bit of passing. I mean, Russell Wilson
Falcons
was unable
for 124 yards a game.
I mean, we'll take out the Saints game. What are they doing? Not much on the ground. They're doing a lot through the air with their running backs, and that is where you can get at Seattle. Tevin Coleman's been very good
there. So who are you taking in the game, Pat?
I'm taking Seattle. Come on now.
I'm taking the Atlanta Falcons plus the points. And we should note the underdog is 16-3 in the last 19 Atlanta Falcon football games. Very, very bizarre trend going on here. No matter who they played, the last 19 games, whether they're the favorite or the underdog has covered 16 of the last 19 times. Buffalo Bills now up to 9 point favorites over Colin Kaepernick and the San Francisco 49ers. Earlier in the week, I was a little hesitant about this game. Feel as though it's somewhat of a trap.
It is a trap. San Francisco is going to win.
San Francisco, you believe San Francisco wins the game outright?
Yeah, I do. Bills fan, doesn't this seem like the game the Bills would lose? Doesn't it? Doesn't this reek of Bills like, 17-14?
The Bills have sort of broken their mold, Pat, in which they're an unpredictable
team. You want to think that.
Listen, I'm not in a hurry to be laying 9 points here, but I don't believe that San Francisco is going to beat Buffalo. Buffalo Bills, during this 3-game win streak, they're rushing for like 178 yards a game. They're holding the opponents to 12 yards a game. I like Colin Kaepernick, and I support Colin Kaepernick's protest, but Colin Kaepernick is going to be in a lot of trouble on Sunday.
I agree he is, but the whole thing that I see it is, no matter how bad he is and how much he gets beat up, he's not going to be worse than Blaine Gabbert. So it's at least a push
standpoint. As a Bills fan, I would have preferred it was Blaine Gabbert.
Me too. But we're going to get Kaepernick. There is upside to be had. I mean, the +9, there's always, remember that game last year in Pittsburgh when, in terms of like fantasy, they were getting blown out by like 41 points, and then Kaepernick just went wild? There's a chance for a big backdoor cover here. 9 points is a lot for the Bills. For a team that slows the ball down, runs the ball a lot, they're going to need a defensive score, which is very much in the cards.
It wouldn't
Kaepernick.
Shock me if Buffalo wins the game, San Francisco covers. And at 9 points, the back door is always open, right? You could be up by 15, 16 and get screwed over if you have Buffalo.
It's like Cleveland.
Buffalo's going to be a big survivor pick, and
I would know.
It's risky, but no riskier than everyone taking the Miami Dolphins earlier this year.
Well, put it this way.
I'm laying the points in this game. Buffalo's going to win this game 38-14.
I think if you really want to try to win some money and try to hedge out a little bit, I don't think that Cleveland's going 0-16, and Tennessee is not as good as everyone thinks, and they're big favorites. They don't deserve to be 7-point favorites. They're not that good.
The spread's a little high, but...
The spread's high, so I think the move here is San Francisco is +306 on the money line. Cleveland is +255. Bet both of them. I think one of them win.
You know the most amazing stat, and what I said about the Buffalo Bills, you almost have to throw out what we knew about the Buffalo Bills before. Since they fired Greg Roman, they're averaging 178.3 yards per game on the ground. You know, what's amazing this year about the Bills in their defense. They have the second-ranked defense in the NFL in the red zone this year. They've only given up 6 touchdowns all year in the red zone, which is an incredible stat. So, dink and doink, the Ryan brothers deserve credit. We've got 1 minute. Pat, it's your super lock of the week, sitting at 2-3 after 5 weeks. Who do you have?
I almost locked in the Seattle Seahawks, but that weather does, for a super lock, is a bit too much for me. I almost locked in the Chiefs at a pick'em or -1, wherever you're seeing that. But then I started looking around. I looked at some totals. I don't normally lock in a total, but when you look at this game, this Dallas-Green Bay game, this game goes one of two ways. Dallas runs the ball all over them. Green Bay has the greatest defense of all time. They haven't really played anyone with a good rushing offense yet, so we'll see. But if you run the ball a lot and it's very effective for Dallas, they're going to run that clock out. They're the fourth slowest team in terms of pace of play. They run the clock down. They're not going to beat you 50-0. Now, if Green Bay wins, they might just jump out to a 30-point lead right away, and Dallas probably is not going to get back into that game because all they can really do is run the ball. So the under 47.5 in that game, two of the top 10 slowest paced teams in the NFL going head-to-head. Aaron Rodgers has been wildly inefficient outside of one half against Detroit so far this season. I really like that bet.
I can agree with that. The Dallas Cowboys only giving up 18 points per game on the season. 3 straight games, 17 points or less. And the Packers only give up 20 a game. And you're right, Dallas like to play ball control even more so when they're on the road. Pat Mayo Super Lock under in the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys. We'll come back with our plays of the day. All right, it's time for our Millionaire Maker lineup. Let's jump right in. I tried to shake things up a little bit. I've had a tendency to take a lot of the same players on a weekly basis, but I wanted to take a different approach this week and think outside the box. We're going to start off with our quarterback here, Alex Smith. Alex Smith's taking on the Raiders. If you look at the scores between these two teams, they always get into the mid-40s, sometimes into the 50s. Nobody's given up more fantasy points at a quarterback this year than the Oakland Raiders have. Give me Alex Smith as my quarterback. Le'Veon Bell, man, the guy's just awesome. He's a fantasy machine. 52 touches since his return. He's put up 24 and 25 DK points. And think about it, he hasn't even scored a touchdown yet. The guy's got like 49 DK points in 2 games without a touchdown. He gets into the end zone this weekend against the Miami Dolphins. I don't like Lamar Miller. I think the Houston Texans are a very, very flawed football team, but I like the matchup. I really do. And I don't like Miller. And I never take them, but I'm taking them here. And don't let me down, Lamar. But the Colts have given 7 touchdowns up to running backs. You know, he's also played some tough teams on defense, Patriots, Vikings, etc. So give me Lamar Miller. Wide receiver, we're going to stack Macklin with Smith. Oakland's got the worst pass defense in the league. 6 wide receivers have put up more than 100 yards. Think about that. I've only played 5 games. You had 6 different dudes of over 100 yards. 100-yard games, give me Macklin. Michael Thomas, you heard it here. I've been telling you guys how good Michael Thomas is all year long. He's better than Brandon Cooks. In a year or two, like, Thomas will be the star type guy. The guy is that good. Thomas, 20 targets, 2 touchdowns last 2 games. Michael Crabtree, only 3 catches last week, but he was targeted 7 times and got a touchdown. I think he's a sneaky play. I'm going to go Jesse James, Wild West style here. Hunter Hurst Henry, Jesse James, man, this guy's been a factor. Ben likes throwing to the tight end, touchdowns in 3 of the last 4 football games. Greg Olson's in my lineup on a weekly basis. This guy puts up monster wide receiver type of numbers. Has to be in the lineup. 33 catches on 53 targets, 2 touchdowns. And our defense will be the Bears. Hey, why not? 11 sacks, 3 picks on the season. Bortles has 6 picks and a fumble. There's our Millionaire Maker lineup. As far as tonight, I like the Blue Jays. I told you the Blue Jays going to win the World Series before the year started. I'm taking the Blue Jays to win the series, but I like the Indians tonight. So wait to bet on the Blue Jays. Let's go over the number. Duke and Louisville. Louisville put up 58 points a game on their own. No reason this game doesn't go over 69.5. Memphis and Tulane probably our shakiest D-gen pick of the night. But let's go with the wave. Da-na-na-na-na. We're riding the wave with Coach Willie Fritz. Coolest name in football, Willie Fritz. Let's go, Slick. Over 52.5. Normally I'd lay 17, but I will with the Aztecs. Mississippi State. Kids from the South, they're not going to do very well up there in Mormon country. BYU rolls the SEC team. Nashville Predators, you heard it here right now. Nashville, you're going to be the Stanley Cup champions this year. It starts tonight. They beat the Blackhawks, and we wrap it up with the Oilers and the Flames over the number. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.